Welcome to VFN Radio, the extra hour. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and with me in the studios is Pat Hamilton. Those that are working in the administrative field, slide your chair up, do a little tap-tap on the keyboard, pull the coffee up not too close, it may cost you your keyboard. For those that are swinging hammers, swing them for Jesus, man. For those that are lifting stuff, can you come help me? I got some stuff I need picked up. For this is a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We'll give a shout-out to Brett Holderbaum in the beautiful, beautiful countryside of Colorado. Give a shout out to Luke this morning. Oh, you guys, it is a beautiful picture. I'm looking at your Facebook right now, how you guys are in Colorado.
Oh, wow.
Oh my goodness, how awesome. Beautiful. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and you're joining us for the extra hour. With me in the studios is Pat Hamilton.
Yeah.
I tell you, we've had a wonderful first hour. If you missed it, you got to catch it. We're going to be talking, by God's grace, about the Fourth Amendment in the extra hour today. But I do want to give a shout out to all of our listeners, our Facebook listeners out there, and what God is doing. And knowing that this is a wonderful day that the Lord has created. This is a day that the Lord has created, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. There's so many things we have going on in front of me right here. I just want to get it all together for you. Hopefully in this extra hour, we're going to get to the Fourth Amendment. But I was just reading right here. You know, John Paul Jackson, he says this. He says, those who want their dreams to come true seldom oversleep. Isn't that beautiful?
That's a good word.
Those who want their dreams to come true seldom oversleep. Isn't that powerful?
Wow, that's good.
I mean, how could you oversleep with so much excitement and everything you can do for God? And that, I mean, this is the day that the Lord has made and you can rejoice in it. Come on. I mean, there's so much to live for. Whatever you've been listening to and whoever you've been listening to and whoever you've been hanging out with that has caused you to say, I don't want to get out of bed. That I don't want to leave this couch, stop. Find somebody to hang out with that's like-minded, that has the mind of Christ, that it believes the word of God, knows that God's in control, and that the best days for the church, which is people, is yet to come. And there's going to be a third great awakening in a nation that looks like, it seems like, oh, it's at its utter stop. No, it's at its utter beginning because we're about to be humbled, but we're going to stand up again, and it's going to be powerful when the Lord begins to restructure our DNA. Those who want their dreams to come true seldom oversleep. I'm going to give a shout out today to Gary Hinkey. Oh my goodness. I'm looking at the baptism that's taking place. Ministry is Closer to Him Ministries up in Oregon. And it's just so cool. I just love to see that. They're in a swimming pool. They're giving a baptism right there. I mean, isn't that what it's all about?
Cool.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Think about it. There's no bulls underneath the pole, you know. I guess they were swimming in it yesterday, and today they're baptizing in it.
Mm.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's awesome.
I mean, it was like, you know, it's just cool.
It is.
You know, how many people have a baptism pool right in their very yard?
I know, right?
You know, even in the city, you know, our churches in the city, some of the cities, you know, they can say, okay, fine, we will go to a hotel, we'll rent a, we'll just go to the pool in the hotel. We'll get a nice room there, and we'll have a big celebration, and we'll baptize people right there in the heated pools in the middle of the winter.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Isn't that cool? I love that. I totally love that. Well, you know, we talked about in the first hour about things that could really encourage you. If you missed it, you got to check it out. You know, sometimes God will use agitation, you know, to be able to bring things in our life and out of our life. Luke, by the way, Luke, I want to give you a shout-out this morning. I'm sure you will be hearing this because I don't know if they can get any kind of, you know, connection up there in the mountains in Colorado, but he's going to be joining the Navy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anchors, how's it going? Anchors.
I have no idea.
You know? For all the Navy guys out there, Navy ladies, that was Anchors Away.
Is that what that was?
It was Anchors Away with a Cold. Anchors Away with a Cold. But they're out camping in the wilderness, the beautiful mountains of Colorado. But the thing I'm looking at here, there's a big, huge black bear beside them. So I got to find out, you know, what's going on. And that was 46 minutes ago. We should just pray for Brett.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's pray for Brett. Lord, keep them safe from that big, huge bear. Oh, my goodness. I guess they are getting service because they got the picture camera.
It must be, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I want to say this. We have the, you know, when you think about, I mean, think about this. You know, you have a restaurant. You have a restaurant. And in that restaurant, the you're serving, you know, maybe 100 customers, 500 customers a day or something like that. And somebody decides to say, listen, you know what? And you're maxing out. You got all your employees. You got all these things going on. And in that, somebody decides in your community, says, listen, we think everybody should be fed in this community. We think everybody should be fed in this community. And so what we want you to do, we want you to begin to feed everybody in this community. You have a restaurant. You have a business. You've been serving 500 people already. So we want you to be able to serve the entire community.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you think is going to happen? I mean, is he going to be able to serve? I mean, think about it. They're serving 500 a day.
Mm-hmm.
They have a business. They've hired exact amount of employees to be able to do that and maintain your business. They're paying waiters and waitresses and cooks.
Mm-hmm.
They're buying the food. They got a place where they're doing business at, and they have a leader that's leading that. Mm-hmm. And they're maxing out at 500 customers a day, for example.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the politicians decide, you know, there's hungry people around here, and, you know, he's a good cook. And he already knows how to feed people and all that kind of stuff. We're just going to tell him, you know, you need to start feeding the whole community here. I mean, what's going to happen with that?
He's not going to have a business much longer.
Why wouldn't he be in business? That's the whole thing.
All right.
Think about it. Yeah. It's just common sense, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, he's in business. He's contributing to society, but his responsibility is not to save society.
Mm-hmm.
He's in business.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And if you want his product, you go there and you buy his product. And if it's food, you eat it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's clothes, you wear it.
Right.
If it's a vehicle, you drive it. But it's not his responsibility. The government shouldn't force him. And it's unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's a businessman going to do? What's a businessman going to do when you tell him, now you got to feed the whole community? He's going to quit.
He's not going to do it.
He's going to close his doors up.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to quit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what they're doing with healthcare right now. 83% of doctors at this very moment, they're saying that's exactly what they're saying right now. You can see it on the VFN TV blog. But 83% of doctors are saying that they're considering leaving the medical field. And it's not because they are rude or mean or hateful or anything like that. You can only do what you can do. You can only do what you can do. And because of the rationing boards, this is the main reason why. The rationing boards are part of the healthcare plan. And there's two parts of the healthcare plan. And very few people have actually read it. But it says at this particular, and you can see this on the VFN TV blog, and it's a survey done by the Doctor Patient Medical Association Foundation, that when they surveyed the doctors, because of Obamacare, the 83% of them are considering quitting.
Wow.
Now, the 500 people that were getting fed
mm-hmm.
from that restaurant, they're not going to be fed anymore, right?
No.
So we killed that business.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that he wasn't a good businessman. It wasn't that things weren't working right. It's just that he could not handle the world. I mean, he couldn't feed the world. He was just a business person. He just happened to be in the food restaurant. Well, a doctor just happens to be in the medical field. He's a human being. She's a human being.
Mm-hmm.
They decided they want to be in the medical practice. They went through all the school that we didn't go through, that we could have gone through. We could have went that route,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
But we didn't. And they paid that price to be able to do that. And those are the ones that you go to and you go, help, my body's acting up, you know, and they help us.
Yeah.
And now, the Obama healthcare plan, which is, it's nice to begin to think about it. And I would appreciate it. Go back and look at the highlights because there's a lot more to this than just this, but we have to understand if the end result is that we only have 17% the present doctors, and we didn't have enough, we don't have enough doctors right now to provide the care that's going to be needed to give everybody health care.
Right.
It's not enough.
Right.
And so now if there's not enough and 83% are going to quit, we had never seen sickness like we'd see it.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so 90% of the medical system, the doctors say, is on the wrong track. 83% are thinking about quitting. You know, 61% say the system challenges their ethics because a rationing board, which is a governmental agency, is going to tell you, you know, that you can treat this person for this, but you can't treat him for that. Ethically, to them, they took the oath that they would actually help everybody that's sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would be, this is what one particular doctor was saying. He says, I would be lying to my patients, and I can't do that. I cannot tell them that you don't need this test or this particular surgery because he would know in his own heart and his own wisdom that you would need it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they're thinking about, I would be lying to my patients. These personal relationships that I had for years, and this one doctor, this Talkins, had it for years, he's been a doctor, and he just can't live with the fact. It just, like the same way we were talking about in the first hour was, you know, before God, that's what he was saying, I cannot lie to my patients.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be a rationing board. Mm-hmm. And anybody that's been involved in VA and different institutions where you served your country as a military soldier, and then you go through Veterans Administration for any kind of medical needs, you're seeing a similar type of system that they're wanting to bring into America.
Right.
And, you know, if you would have trained a whole army of doctors up under that mindset and then switched over.
Right.
That they're understanding that I'm actually going to be a servant to the system, and that this rationing board, I have confidence in whoever these people are on the board, that they're going to make the best decisions, and they can talk to their patients to say, listen, you know, this is what I believe about these people that are making these decisions. And they're kind of like brought into the whole new, I guess, I don't know, sort of like Hitler kind of trained up his own people.
Yeah, right.
You know, it seems about like that, don't it? He trained up all of his own people, and it's like, you know, that's what it's like. It's sort of like we're entering into a communistic, socialistic, you know, and if you missed the ism cartoon, you can see it on the VFN TV blog, hear it on the highlights, but it explains communism, socialism, Marxism, and capitalism, and understanding that when the government takes over healthcare, you're moving right into socialism, progressively, possibly Marxism, and ultimately communism, and the government just takes over more and more. But if you control that part of the budget, the tax budget, the government does, what's the use of legislature anymore? Why send your representative? He's not going to be able to do anything, or she's not going to be able to do anything.
Right.
And so the doctors are talking about quitting. And so here we are now. Your doctor, instead of lying to you, may just walk out the door by 2014. You know, and this is not about a political situation. This is about a mindset. This is about a value mindset. And we value, you know, as Americans and as Christians, and that's what VFN Radio is for the church and those that are going astray and those that are being drawn to God, is that, you know, we value people being taken care of. God values it so much that he's going to judge us on the last days if we did or didn't. Of course, as I say, the problem is if 97% of the church, those that profess to be believers, are robbing God of his tithes and offerings, you know, we're not in a place to be able to tell the government what to do, but we can repent and give ourselves times by making the right decision in November for people who stand for our value system. Nobody should say that our present, you know, medical system's working. I remember, you know, that I was in a particular city. I was there for a ministry meeting. And I just instantly, just totally, just out of the middle of nowhere, got sick, you know, and it's unusual for that kind of thing to happen. And I didn't know what it was coughing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go to the emergency room, and they were so nice to me. I mean, they were just so, I was like, oh, these people are just so nice, you know. And they're doing some x-rays, they're going through all these different things, you know, to be able to check me out. And then I leave, and I think, what a great experience. That was just, you know, they helped me out.
Yeah.
You know, stopped the coughing thing, and it was like pneumonia. I had like pneumonia.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that something?
Mm.
And so, but, you know, maybe about a month later or something, I get a I love you letter in the mail. I find out why they were so nice. I got a bill from the doctors, and I got a bill from the hospital. And for that one, like maybe an hour and a half, it was like $1,200 for an hour and a half. And some of that was spent in the waiting room.
Yeah.
Think about it. That's a lot of money for a day-to-day person where we're just living our life out. And all of a sudden you got a $1,200 bill because you got a cough. You know, that's an injustice. That right there, something's wrong and all that. But at the same time, the answer is the answer government, or is the answer for us rethinking what we're doing with the doctors at the table, with the citizens at the table, and to let the free market move and see if it will begin to adjust. Because when somebody comes to get, they want to get something done in their body physically, they come to America to get it done.
That's right.
You know, if they have the money, they come to America because it has, we have excellent, you know, things. And I think India is actually coming up on that, by the way.
Oh, wow.
But knowing that, so if we could just figure out, you know, with God's wisdom, of course, the key is first for the church to stop robbing God. That's the first thing, you know, and then you'll find out if we don't do that, we'll maybe be able just to build our own hospitals and we're totally, you know, can treat people the way we feel God wants us to treat them. But you go into some hospitals that started by those who love God and they've been taken over by boards and corporations and they won't even let you mention Jesus. And I was like, it just says, you know, you name the religion over the top of it, you know, a Christian, you know, expression.
Right.
And they're kind of real touchy-feely about it. It's like, oh, we don't love Jesus in this place.
Right.
But, you know, I just want to encourage you that, you know, we can make a decision in November, not on a person, not on a party, but on the direction of our country. It seemed good at the time because he knew how to fix food in his restaurant. I mean, he's so good at fixing that food. He's feeding 500 people a day. But it was so out of the ballpark, unrealistic. He's just going to, he's a free person. He's a free marketed person. And he's just going to close his doors up. He's not going to do that. He can't do it, first of all. Secondly, he's not going to do it. And they have written in these laws that says that they can force the doctors to provide a service. But the whole thing is like, do you really want somebody being forced to stick a knife in your chest and cut you open?
No.
They come in there in the operating room with an attitude. I can't believe that the government is making like, hey, cool down. Give them a shot. Give them a shot. You know, I mean, they're going to, you don't want somebody just, you know, you don't want some slave mindset of a doctor that he's enslaved by the government and he's angry with them and the government's forcing him to come in there or her to provide open heart surgery to you. And it's not a good combination, you know. And they wouldn't be angry with you, but they might take it on you. Like, I showed them, like, get somebody else in here. So 83% of doctors have been surveyed by, and you can see this on the VFN TV blog. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the blog. That it's done by the Doctor Patient Medical Association Foundation. And it has a lot of stats in there and the sources of those particular stats. We'll be right back.
Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org. Let me tell you a little bit about it. You got to understand how things start and what God says and how God, when he begins to do something, a new thing, a new work, he will normally call a people out from what he presently or in the past established so he can begin not a new gospel, but a fresh wind, a fresh anointing for the next generation, you know, and one thing that we found out at Vine Fellowship Network is that, you know, God was preparing us for this next season of what's taking place. It really looks like possibly for the end times, you know, but either way, it's for our generation, you know, and at Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU, you can actually begin to learn and grow because God's called you into the harvest field. It's not really an option. It's not the great option. It's or the suggestion. It's the Great Commission. And in VFNU, you'll learn the history of how did the Vine Fellowship Network come to pass? I mean, how did it happen? And it came from a compelling and a word and a direction from God and totally in alignment. Everything that we're aware of that is a related and scripturally correct. It just ties in. You can't help but look in every direction. And Vine Fellowship Network University, the pattern, the biblical pattern that he's called us to walk out, which is just the word of God, that it reminds you of God.
Right.
You know, and a true prophet draws you closer to God, and a false prophet draws you closer to themselves. And our desire at Vine Fellowship Network University and VFN is to for you to be drawn closer to God. A byproduct of that is you're going to be closer to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. But that as you're closer to God, you're hungrier for God. So in VFNU, you learn things about, you know, how the church is to function. You know, right now, we've taken on so many mindsets of the world, especially the American board business mindset, mm-hmm. that we're convinced that the Father's business is like the world's business, but it's not.
Right.
And we also talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. You know, what is, you can't rule out the one who's supposed to be, you know, ruling the church and under Jesus, and understanding how it controls God, and understanding the importance of being rightly related. And there's biblical, daily, weekly, there's patterns that we as believers that God tells us to go by in His Word, and you'll discover what they mean biblically, how they fit, financial integrity, you know, finding out how we can best do what's right before God in our financial areas, mm-hmm. discovering the biblical patterns of gathering as a church, the importance of maintaining your confidence, understanding the voice of the Lord, how God can speak with you, to you, mm-hmm. you know, biblical foundations of faith, dealing with authority, zero tolerance, walk, worship, and warfare. I mean, there's so many things that you learn through VFNU that it just empowers you to do what God's called you to do. Listen, we want to see everything that God's called you to be manifest in your life. And we want to see you in the Great Commission. We're in agreement with you. Find out more at vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org. Pat.
Yes.
Technology is amazing the way things are going, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are just so, we get, you know, things are moving so quick. You remember, you used to have to, I don't know if you might, you remember dialing the phone,
yeah.
the dial?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you mess up like on the seventh number or something, the sixth number. It's like, oh, man, they have 3 8s or zeros in their number. It's like, oh, my mm-hmm. goodness. You love those, like, 1 2 2 1. You probably don't even know what we're talking about, you know, a lot of the generations listening. But listen, people text today, and the text sends a text message, and it goes all the way to China.
Right.
And it lasts, I don't know, it takes about 6 seconds to get there. And we go, hurry up! You know?
I know.
Isn't that crazy?
I know.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, think about this. You can subscribe to VFN TV. It's free to subscribe. And you can have access to everything. And, of course, we want you to have everything, you know, by texting.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually take your phone and text, if you can text, the letters V as in Victor, VFN TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's VFN TV to the number 22828. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You text, this is how simple it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that quick.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can text VFNTV to the number 22828, and it'll walk you through a few little simple processes. And next thing you know, you'll be fully subscribed, and you can log in to all the wonderful things that are available for you on at VFNTV.com and on your Android phones and your Apple phones and your iPads, and I don't know all the things going out there. That's just so neat, isn't it?
That's awesome.
Isn't it cool?
Yeah,
it's very cool. Just text VFNTV to the number 22828. That's VFNTV to the number 22828. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton. You know, I want to talk about original intent for a moment. We always talk about the original intent of America and the original intent of the church. Right now is the original intent of our founding fathers. And I'm looking at the Constitution. You need to get your little pocket version, a handbook version of the Constitution, so you can carry it with you. Understanding, you know, as we begin to see, you know, things being challenged and people saying they want to do away with the Constitution, you know, things are, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
We saw, you know, things that they called it an outdated document in some of the universities are...
Yeah.
Our judiciary branch, you know, one of our justices are telling Egypt, don't use America's constitution. It's outdated. You need to go
right.
to one of the countries in Africa to be able to use theirs. There has more openness in regards to abortion and some other things. You can go ahead and bring that into. They're trying to, you know, all this, like, really? You know, you're sworn to actually defend
mm-hmm.
The Constitution from enemies, you know, foreign and domestic. And so I'm looking at here, and, you know, coming from the experience of, you know, being in law enforcement for about over 9 years, your law enforcement officers live every single day, you know, by the Constitution. I mean, the government mm-hmm. used to.
All right.
You know, it used to be, you know, that used to be the thing. For some reason, it's just like they're wanting to change it. But every single day, your lawyers, your judges, and your
the law enforcement are applying the Constitution to your community every single day. And they know probably better, because everything that they do has to be checked for if it's constitutionally correct. Did you violate somebody's constitutional rights? And so they're thinking more about the Constitution probably than more others who go back and judge them afterwards. Mm-hmm. You know, it's right. easier that, you know, you're in a crazy situation and you're about to lose your life or something. You're trying to, you know, make quick decisions. So the officer has to be well-trained and experienced mm-hmm. to be able to do that, because they don't want to violate somebody's rights. Because if you do, I'm looking at the Fourth Amendment right here, that if you do, then they actually let the person go. Mm-hmm. Because the whole Constitution is for you, the individual. It is not for the government. It was created to protect you and me, the people. It was not meant to protect the government. The Constitution was meant for you, the people, not for the government.
Right.
You know, it's like it's totally turned around now. It's like they're trying to create a document that empowers them mm-hmm. and disempowers people.
Right.
So knowing the Constitution, getting back to the original intent of our founding fathers, we need to do that so we don't lose it. But the Fourth Amendment talks about this. This is the Fourth Amendment. It says the right of the people to be secure. Mm-hmm. Think about it. You have a right to be secure. Mm-hmm. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers. That's back when things were done on papers, but it's talking about what's written on the papers. Mm-hmm. And effects. Against unreasonable search and seizure shall not be violated. In other words, don't touch my stuff, don't read my stuff, don't look at my stuff, and don't go in my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what it's saying.
Yeah.
Right? Then it goes on and says, and shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issued or be issued but upon probable cause. So they can't even just conjure something up and say, hey, you know, give me a warrant, Judge. I want to be able to go and look in Pat's stuff, mm-hmm. you know, his papers, his effects, his houses and all. And he says, but upon probable cause, then it can be issued. Supported by an oath of affirmation, which means that person who wants to search your stuff, I don't care if the FBI, the CIA, the local police, or the local sheriff, or the local whoever, mm-hmm. they have to raise their hand before God and that judge, and they have to swear, give their word as if that means something. It does. You know, I'm telling you, if you understood who our law enforcement officers are, you'd have such respect for them, because they are the tools, everyday tools, and the judges of the Constitution. They're making sure that nobody takes advantage of it, and they do. They actually undo it. And they have to swear an oath to it, and particularly describing, they have to actually describe very specifically the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. First of all, what does probable cause actually mean? It's important, you got to understand that. Probable cause means this particular person who says they want to search your belongings, search your papers, search your houses, search your data. There you go. This is a big thing. Search your data. They have to swear an oath that they have a probable cause to believe. Probable cause. And probable cause is defined as this. They believe a crime has been or is about to be committed. There's evidence proven, not suspended. Like, you know, I just think that person is a bad person. They don't do it.
Right.
And that would be thrown out of court. Mm-hmm. That they can't. They have to actually say, well, you know, I saw the drugs in their hands. I saw the money exchange. It's like when police officers happen to break up any kind of prostitution, they sometimes have to get involved in the process so they can see the money exchange hands. If the money doesn't exchange hands, then the services weren't purchased and they get thrown out of court. Mm-hmm. You know, 'cause that's believe it or not, even the prostitute has constitutional rights and they can't be violated, him or her. Mm-hmm. And the person who has got caught up in the drug trafficking, you know, they're American citizens and they have constitutional rights. Citizens, your neighbor that lives right next to you has these constitutional rights. Police officers, even though they're enforcing the laws, you can't violate their constitutional rights. You can't search their things or their belongings. I mean, everybody does. Mm-hmm. And And then not only do you have a probable cause to search that says, okay, you tell the judge, I believe such and such, this probable cause that a crime is or about to be committed. And then you got to describe, you got to write out in a warrant, affidavit, a warrant, very specifically what you're talking about. You can't say yada, 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 violating them. You can't do that. You got to say, you know, I believe they're trafficking and say, just say, you know, dealing in elephants is illegal. Right.
Right.
And, you were just driving by one day, and you saw this man trying to squeeze an elephant into the front door of the house, right? And you weren't even paying attention, but you noticed it because the big butt of the elephant was sticking out the door. Yeah, it was kind of stuck in the door jamb. And so you see it. You go, okay, I see the butt of the elephant trying to get into his house. I see the man with the elephant. I know that the law says it's illegal to traffic in that. So this officer would go to the judge, he would write that out, saw the butt of an elephant sticking out the door. It's illegal according to this particular statute, you know, federal law or state law, and that he believes is violated. And so the judge would read all that, and then he had to raise his hand up, and he would swear.
Mm-hmm.
I swear I saw the butt of that elephant sticking out the door. This all to be true. This warrant to be true is what he swore.
Right.
And then you go with that warrant, and then you can go to the person's house, and you can search for this elephant. It shouldn't be too hard. He probably still got his butt hanging out the door.
Right.
Depending on your house today. I mean, some big houses. Some big houses in Texas. There's some big houses out there. But know this, that, and so that was, think about all those rights that you had as a person who you know, were being protected at that point. What does that mean? Okay, it means this. Say he got the elephant into the house, and your warrant affidavit, the warrant affidavit is used against you. Now it's a warrant, a search warrant. They can now search. And they go in there and they start looking for this elephant. Let's just imagine it's a rather large house and the elephant can move around. But they start looking in your drawers. I'm talking about where you know, down south, that's actually where you store your clothes and
your
stuff.
Your dresser.
Dresser, that's right. Yeah, it's a dresser. And, or they're looking in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're looking in the washing machine. Or they're looking in the back of the toilet. Where that little water stuff's in the back for those in America. In Europe, they're like in the ceiling. And so finally, they look in the jewelry box on your dresser, and they see a big bag of cocaine or crack or heroin, some drug, illegal drug.
Mm-hmm.
And they arrest you for that. And they arrest you for the drug. And it is against the law to have that drug.
Right.
But they were there under this very specific instruction of the Fourth Amendment that they swore that there was an elephant in the house and they were looking for it. And they arrest you, they take you to jail, and they can't find the elephant, you know. But they found the cocaine, which is a more serious charge.
Mm-hmm.
They take it before the judge, and the judge will find out if this is constitutionally right. Did they violate your constitutional rights? According to the Fifth Amendment, America,
right.
Don't give up the Constitution. Listen to this is so important. And so the judge would say, well, you know, this is a felony charge. You're going to be, you know, possibly, you know, facing umpteen years in prison. And then your defense attorney, because you have, this is what they read you is your constitutional rights when you're arrested, you know, a variation of this. They say you have the right to remain silent. Which is a pretty smart thing to do, by the way, until you know what's going on. Don't think, well, they're going to think I'm guilty. They're already arresting you, so they probably already think you are. They already believe this probable cause. So
right.
Just, you know, you find out what's going on first. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. You have the right to an attorney, which represents you. Understand this, that if you're going to build a house, you go hire a carpenter. People go, look at you, you're just guilty. You know, I would have built that house myself. It's like, I don't know how to build a house. I don't know how to hammer nails or cut things or whatever. You know, you hire a carpenter. This is you have a right to an attorney, which knows how the law works. And so you can bring your attorney in. This is a constitutional right. Don't let anybody tell you by getting an attorney, you're admitting to guilt. If you're getting an attorney, you're admitting to wisdom.
Yeah.
Unless you are one. But it says that a person who represents himself in a court has a fool for a client.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Anyway, so the Constitution set up where you can have legal representation. Then they say this, that, and if you can't afford an attorney, we'll have one appointed to represent you. So we're telling that American citizen, listen, we want justice for you. We don't want to pull the wool over your eyes. We don't want to do you in. We want to just bring this before the judge. We want to bring the light of the Constitution on this situation. We want to put your hand on a Bible that you swear before God, you know, to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. And we just want to lay out all the evidence. So the officer's not convicting you. The officer's bringing you before the judge, and the judge's responsibility is to evaluate, and a jury's responsibility is to evaluate, jury of your peers, that if your constitutional rights have been violated, and if they haven't, then to proceed on with the process. If they have been violated, then they will have to dismiss the case. And this is what the search warrant said. It said, we're looking for an elephant, right? And this is what's going to happen. They're going to throw that charge out. Not because you were right in saying it was illegal for them to have these felony drugs, but it was wrong for the fact you shouldn't have been looking in a jewelry box for an elephant, because elephants don't fit in a jewelry box. They didn't fit in that closet. So if you're looking at places that elephants don't fit, you've moved outside your authority that you were given by the judge, that you swore that you were looking for elephants. So this is important. Listen, the reason why our founding fathers wrote this in the Constitution is because the British soldiers were kicking our front doors. They would take our stuff from us. They would search anytime they want to. You'd walk down the street and they would just search you and take your stuff. They'd look through your papers and you'd just be like, these peasants, you know? And that's how they treated people. And we're about to lose this. We're about to lose this right that we have, the Fourth Amendment right. And we need to wake up. And let me tell you something, church. You got to understand, you know, we're not going to win in this thing, because anything that wants to take control like this is not God.
Right.
You know, it's demonic. It's a tyrannical rule. I mean, it could be God leading us to a place of captivity because we've been in rebellion. But let's just repent before we go there, and let's continue with this great experiment called America, called freedom, you know, where our rights come from God. And that's your Fourth Amendment right. And so as an officer, an experienced officer, mind you, will know that he can't say that and he can't do that. And if he does, he or she's wasting their time, because it's all going to be thrown out in the end. It's going to make them look bad. And so he would have had to say in his search warrant, in his warrant, that I want to search for cocaine. I wanted to search for something that small. And then he could have looked in the jewelry box and it would have stuck, you know. And so, but he has to have probable cause to believe that the person's a drug dealer too,
right?
Or doing drugs. And if you don't have probable cause, he's just like, you know, I just want to check his house for drugs. Then he does not have probable cause to believe the drugs are in that house, because he has to believe that a crime is being committed or is about to be committed. See what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's not the fact that you got drugs or somebody's got drugs. It's the fact that they believe that drugs are being, illegal drugs are being used, and that or about to be used, and a crime is about to be committed. And so they just can't say, hey, I want to search your house for, you know, whatever. I just use drugs for just whatever reason. And that's a powerful right that we have. It's a huge right that we have. And they're wanting to change the Constitution. If they take away that, then that means they can search your stuff. They can search your things. And the difficult thing that we have going on right now with the Fourth Amendment, you know, our president and his responsibility as a president of the United States is to protect our Constitution of the United States from enemies foreign and domestic. He's supposed to protect our borders, where people physically and physically cannot come over the borders without us first finding out who they are, that they wouldn't come in and violate the rights of somebody in our country. And then going back real quick, like, to that Fourth Amendment. So you goes to the court, they present the whole thing, the elephant charges being against you, the cocaine charges being against you, and the judge says this. He goes, since you didn't produce the elephant, there's no. And then, I mean, you could say if it don't fit, it don't, you gotta quit. but the cocaine, the cocaine, the illegal cocaine, they throw it out. In America, you see all these newscasters today. They have something that happens in America, and they get on their rant, and they talk for like 20 days about something. But one thing they're not mentioning or ignorant of, or just trying to convince people of, is not bringing up the Constitution. We have a constitutional right. We're innocent until proven guilty. We're just going to the courts to lay everything out, present all of your evidence that says that I'm guilty, And then you as a defendant, the one that's being charged, you do not have to say a word. It's their responsibility. It's the responsibility of the state to present evidence that a crime has been committed beyond any shadow of doubt. They have to convince them that this has happened. So you just sit there and just watch. Somebody says, I can't believe they're not testifying. First of all, you don't have to. And sometimes, why should you have to say anything anyway? You know, if it's a trumped up charge, if it's something that's not right, and if somebody's got some vendetta or something like that, then, you know, let it all just be spelled out in court and you just sit there and watch it. You know, the jury's instructed you cannot base your decision based on whether the defendant speaks or not speaks. Mm-hmm. The burden is on the prosecution. It was on the officer who made the arrest. It was on the warrant, the judge, the was signed in the Fourth Amendment. It was on the search and how they did the search. It was on all these specifics. And some people said it was thrown out for a technicality. No, they're thrown out because they violated someone's constitutional right. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Right. And the system's based off of this. It's better to let two guilty men free than to send one innocent man to jail.
Right.
We got to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it worse having two guilty people go free or to sending you an innocent man to jail? I think it's worse sending you an innocent man to jail.
All right.
You know, life has its way of working things out.
Right.
I mean, think about what happened with O.J. Simpson and all that. It looked like he got free on mm-hmm. the situation, didn't it?
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, he's in jail today.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like, you know, justice just happens over time.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And so, know this, that our system is based on, you know, it's better to let two guilty people go free than to send you, an innocent person, to jail. So if we demand every person that we think in our own mind and exclude the Constitution, exclude the wisdom of the judges and the attorneys and the wisdom of the officers, and we're just going to throw somebody in jail, guess who's next?
Yeah.
Guess who's next? So I want to encourage you. You know, when somebody talks to you or you hear people talking about or your legislature talking about your congressman or your senator saying that the Constitution is outdated and they need to do away with it, when our Supreme Court justice, you know, I believe it was Ginsburg's telling the Egyptian leaders not to use the Constitution that she swore to be able to defend, you know, and to make sure that our laws are constitutional, she needs to be impeached. She needs to be removed from office yesterday. A president who doesn't defend the Constitution, who doesn't stand up from enemies of it, foreign and domestic, needs to be removed from office. That a congressman or a senator who doesn't defend it needs to be removed from office. A military person who's serving in the military, who swore to uphold it and defend it, they need to be removed from the military. Every aspect. And a person it's a citizen of America that becomes an enemy of the state and an enemy of the Constitution, they need to be removed. That's mm-hmm. just it.
Right.
Because we all pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States for the republic, not democracy, for which it stands. It's a representative government. We'll be right back in just a moment. John G. Lake planted over 5,000 churches in Africa. Over 5,000 churches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are getting saved, and within being saved for 30 days, 60 days, you know, 90 days, not only are they actually starting a church gathering, but they're actually starting another church.
Right.
I mean, it just happens. You know, if we break loose from the flower pot, if we break loose from that thing that's retaining and just maxing out our roots. So listen, a vine is supposed to go all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can have a beautiful flower in a flower pot. I think of, you know, Charles Simpson in his book. Yeah, I think it's called Vines, Ants, Vines, and
Flower Pots.
Flower Pots. Isn't that mm-hmm. interesting? Yeah. And he talks about, you know, vines just meant to grow anywhere and to go anywhere. And Jesus said, I am the vine. Listen, we're supposed to preach the gospel to all, and then the end would come. We're not waiting for somebody to show up and preach it. We're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us. Imagine if you spend the next 10 years of your life just obeying God. Listen to Steve Hills. He talks about exactly what happens. You can get saved and get trained and get launched into the harvest field. Listen up.
And we lived in Argentina for years. And same thing. We would give an altar call. Someone would come forward, get saved. Next news you know, they've planted 3 churches. Blink your eyes. They've planted 10. Blink your eyes. And some North Americans down the road can't get anything off the ground.
Exactly right.
And I'm going, something's wrong. Something's wrong with the picture. Let me just ask a couple.
I want to say this. It's the hunger.
We're going to have to get hunger. Yes, we could. You could go to India right now. You can go to China. As a matter of fact, they're asking for so many to come. But America, the American church is kind of like, we don't need anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hunger. You know, God moves by hunger. If we get hungry, if we say, listen, I'm ready to get all this out of my life. That's not God. All I want is God. And I'm ready to go after God. Listen, if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Listen, this is not a fairy tale. This is eternity. People every day are dying and going to hell. Every day, somebody, maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's the guy that just installed your cable in your home. Or maybe it's your appliance repair person. Maybe it's your teacher. Maybe it's your friend. I don't know. But are you telling them about Jesus? Have you break loose from that that's holding you back and begin to sow the gospel of peace? Begin to sow the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, we're doing that at VFN. Vine Fellowship Network. It's vfnfamily.org. If you want to find out something about it, you can be trained, you can be discipled, you can be launched out, you can be connected and rightly related. I mean, you can stay where you are and begin to grow right where you're at. It's amazing. You know, if the kingdom of God is within you, and this is just so exciting. You want to be a part of that. What's wrong in America? We're not hungry. We've fallen into sin. We got to repent. We got to rise up. We got to get hungry. We got to know that God is the only answer. All these other things that are happening that are distracting, they're just demonic distractions trying to keep us out of the ultimate goal of preaching the kingdom of God to all, and then the end will come. He's coming back. Mm-hmm. He's coming back, you know?
That's right.
You know, you can be you're either a gatherer or a scatterer. He says, if you're not gathering, then you're scattering. You know, you got to be a gatherer. You got to work in going out and winning the lost. God's called us. And listen, you can be a lengthener or a strengthener. You can be part of a team that's lengthening what is, or part of a team that is strengthening what is. But you're part of the advancement of the kingdom of God, which is not building a wing onto a building. It's actually telling another person about Jesus. We'll find out more about that at vfnfamily.org. vfnfamily.org. You know, Ben, I was just talking to my father,
mm-hmm.
and he was, my sisters and I, we got them an iPad,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, move them into the next level of technology.
Right.
And my mother was Skyping now.
Oh,
my
wow.
mother, yeah, she can Skype. She can Skype. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to have mom on, have to do a conference call or something, uh-huh. and bring her on live. You would just, you know, everybody, you in the audience, you would just love to hear my mother. We just laugh and talk, and we've always had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they're listening to VFN TV,
mm-hmm.
and the VFN radio program, watching VFN TV and listening to the VFN radio program,
mm-hmm.
with their iPad.
Oh, wow.
They have an iPad,
uh-huh.
and they're able to do it because they went to the iTunes store,
mm-hmm.
and downloaded the application, because we have an application. We have an app for that.
Right.
We have an app for your iPad, we have an app for your iPhone, and we have an app for your Android.
Mm-hmm.
You just go to your app store and type in your search area of your app store, V as in Victor, VFN TV. There you go is the app. Download it, and for free, you begin to listen not only to the live program, and it happens all day long on the loop as well, but all the archives and highlights. You think about it. If you miss a segment or somebody's talking to you about something, oh, man, I missed that, you can go that. With the app, you could go back and look to the highlights of that day, and possibly the app, that particular highlight's right there. In addition, you can get right to our VFN TV and Data VFN Radio program Facebook. You can get to our the VFN TV blog right off your application. It has everything that you need available for you. As a matter of fact, those that are you know, sowing into this ministry and giving, that you can even give right there on your application.
Wow.
It is so, so cool. I just want to say hey to Ma and hey, Dad. And all the moms and dads out there, listen, you can get VFN TV, the daily radio program, right there on your phone or your iPad or your Android or Apple. Just go to your app store and download it today. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and with me in the studios is Pat Hamilton. We were talking about the Fourth Amendment, and I have some experience in that, coming from a law enforcement background, that every day, the reason why an officer just can't pull you over on the road
and start searching you is because there is probable cause. You have to violate the law. And in that, for example, say you run a red light. If you run a red light, he or she, the officer, should and can stop you. You know, and if you run a stop sign, they can stop your car, and but they can't just start searching your car,
right?
Unless you give them permission. Could you please search my car?
Yeah.
Of course, I was in the sheriff's department. I would ask the question. I'd say, "Oh, okay, you're free to go," and then I ask the question, "Do you mind if I?" So you don't have drugs in your car, do you? And everybody, everybody, don't care who they were, they would go, "Nope." And then I would go, "Well, you don't mind if I can search it then, right?" And they pause and they think. And they could say no. Constitutional, your constitutional right, you could say no. And Howard Anderson is my witness. People would say, of course, go ahead and search it. And at times we would find, you know, pounds of marijuana and all these different things. And but I had to ask the question. If I didn't ask the question and they didn't give me permission, and if I didn't tell them we're free to go, it didn't matter what I found in that car. I could have found Jimmy Hoffa in the car. I would have had to thrown it out. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't search the car. But they also have what's called search incident to arrest. So if you're getting arrested or they're talking to you, they can search your person for weapons because you the law states that they may be could be hurt, you know, by somebody who may have a gun, and it makes you be surprised where people put weapons and all this different stuff. And so they do have the authority to be able to search you or pat you down is what it is, pat you down for weapons, so they can you know, pat your pockets and pat your, you know, your pants legs or whatever. Whatever they want to pat, they can pat, you know, because you could have a weapon in there. So that is a search, but it's called a pat down. It's not called dig in your pockets and find out what you got and look through your papers in your pocket or pull out your wallet and dig through your wallet and all that. You're totally being violated. Your constitutional rights are being violated. But if they're patting you down and they felt in like in your front left pocket, you know, a sharp metal object or something that appeared could be a pocket knife or it could be a small handgun, and they don't know what it is. Now, because they patted that down and they felt what seemed to be, could be, and they have to articulate it, a weapon, then they can go in that pocket and find out what's in there. They can find out it was a pen you write with, or they could find out, hey, it was a knife or something. And they can take that knife and they can hold that knife while they're interviewing you. Based on your laws, whatever your laws are in your particular state and your ordinances. But under the Constitution, they can do that. It's called a pat down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that I'm just going to get the Fourth Amendment, the search and the seizure. Now, here we are now. No, we have the right. Let me read that one more time so we can remember this because we're coming to this, to the end of this, the extra hour here. We want to make sure that you kind of really begin to soak in the Fourth Amendment with this and share this with your friends. You know, go to the highlights, tell your friends to get VFN radio, VFN TV app. Go to the VFN TV blog. We'll make this available there. Post this link in all your Facebook and all your Twitter and send it to all your friends so we can understand. Don't change the Fourth Amendment. Now, here's a new dilemma. A brand new dilemma is we're in a whole new world now where people in America are doing business with people in China. And they're not. And it's not some big deal anymore. It's anybody can do it because of the Internet. And so you have things like global companies such as Google, global companies such as Facebook. You know, it used to be the industries such as Ford Motor Company. They were global and they had multi. But now you have a lot of different countries, companies that are global. People are global. But yet we have national laws. We have a U.S. Constitution. That Constitution is only for America. Now, how we actually keep people safe in America is we have a president of the United States who defends our borders and defends our Constitution. So he doesn't let people physically come over that was going to bring harm to any of the Americans. But now we need to begin to explore applying our constitutional to the digital world. We got to begin to say, you know what? We got to have some sort of protection for America that allows the constitutional rights of America's data. There just has to be. And the reason why I'm saying that is because if you don't, the only solution for this next level, if we don't aren't willing to do that, is a one world government. One world that polices. You have one world police that has some sort of world policing that will police the same world laws in China that they would in America. And you're surrendering the Constitution at that point. Right. The Constitution does not apply to anybody but Americans.
Right.
You know? Mm. And so we just like we have physical borders, we're going to need some sort of borders. But when I think about it, I think about Woodrow Wilson. President Woodrow Wilson went to war in World War I. He took America to war because he felt that big government was the key. But the government got its money from taxes. And when the war started happening in World War I, it kept the Europeans from buying our products, which government got tax money off the trade money that was going, so the coffers went way down. He had a vision to bring in big government. And so he went into World War I. He took us into World War I because of business, because of economy. And ever since this man's administration, this is where things have been headed. Mm. And then they eventually tied all of our economies together, saying if we'll tie the economies together, then we will never go to war again. Right.
Right.
And now we got to make up our mind. This is a whole new America. We got to say, do we want to go back to our original father's intent and not go to war just because we want big government, not go to war because we want more money in our business? How much more money do we need? We're top 3% of the world in income. You know what I'm saying? It's the most blessed country, you know, but we have to make a decision. Just like there's protection over the physical borders. I mean, China's got walls. I mean, China actually has walls in regards to their data. Google bowed up with China, and they started trying to attack China, and presently they lost. And they went to Hong Kong, and that's what Yulong was telling about. They're in Hong Kong. That's where they actually tap into the internet. But right now there is no borders. There is no constitutional law for this virtualness. And the only way that we can do that is to have walls. Is that going to lessen our money? Yeah. Is it going to cause us to do business according to the Constitution? We should anyway, and if we're Christians, we should do it just like we talked about in the first hour, you know, that God loves fair scales. And so we should be thinking that way. But if we don't put these walls up, and it's not like isolationism, it's just like wanting to keep our Constitution. We don't want to lose our Constitution. We're going to have digital walls. We're going to have digital walls that protect the continuity of our nation. Some people are going to like it. Some people are not. But if we don't do that, and prophetically, because we know that in end times there's going to be a one world government, you know, all these things are going to happen. But, you know, it could happen now because we did not stand our watch as the church. We did not do what was right. We let go of a nation and a friend of Israel. You know, we let go of something. And so, and I'm looking right now today, there's an article right now that Google got charged $22.5 million by the FTC penalized for someone's violating someone's privacy. Well, that's kind of like the officer getting by, you know, type thing. But now, how do you do that? That's 5 hours worth of income, according to the income charts for Google in 2011. We can't let industry trump our Constitution. We can't let men's greed and demand to rule trump our Constitution. We need it. That data should have been protected by the Fourth Amendment rights, and we got to figure this out. We got to put our minds to it, our prayer to it, our knees to it. And if we want to keep our Constitution, it's not about shouting and screaming. Listen, we're going to have some sort of digital walls that keep people's data out of our country and ours in the country, and nobody can touch it or search it without our personal permission. Well, praise God, we're coming to the end of the extra hour. God bless. Don't forget, get familiar with the original tent of our founding fathers. Until we see you again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. And don't forget us on the loop 24/7 at bfntv.com. God bless, and we'll see you tomorrow.